Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 280. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Mike Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Get my comedy album, Double Happiness. It will be coming out September 30th, 2022. But today's right now we're in August and I just got a shipment of the CDs in. If you want a CD, I can sign it. I'll personalize it to you. I'll autograph it, send it to you now. So you'll get it a month before everybody else. Go to turnersparks.com to get that or go to turnersparks to get it digitally. We request you get it on iTunes and please buy it on iTunes. I don't care if you have Apple Music. That does nothing for me if you just listen to it. I need on iTunes, and that pushes me up the charts because the goal is to debut at number one in America on the iTunes charts when it comes out on September 30th. Last time I debuted at number two because Jim Gaffigan put an album out the same week. We're not letting that happen again. I don't care if he has an album out. We're going to number one.
Gaffigan. Yeah.
The Gap. He's the enemy of the pod. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms. Kaplan.
Yes. How you doing?
On the show today, we should say that you were still waiting on your microphone to come in. If anyone's been listening the last couple of weeks, right?
I'm still waiting. I check the mail every day. I go down to the guy downstairs, the mailman. I see him. I say, "Do you got my cord?
It's a microphone cord, but it's taken a long time, 2 or 3 weeks to come here. But we do say you have better headphones this time, so you have better audio. On the show today, we're talking about who else? It's sweeps week, so of course we're talking about Armenia. We need to boost our ratings. So we're going back to Armenia. We have our friend Narek Margaryan here. He will be joining us in just a minute. Of course, you all know Armenia as the country that sent us to number one. For the very first time, we printed shirts. We printed mugs. You can get that at lostinamericapod.com. If you subscribe to our Patreon channel, we give you for $10 a month subscription, we will send you for free a shirt or a mug. It costs $20 to produce these things. So we're bad business people because we've had people subscribe for 1 month. We send them a shirt, then they unsubscribe, and then we're out $10.
And we've just went to number one in Croatia. Thank you to our listeners in Croatia. So people are clamoring for new shirts. So this is the time to get in for the $10 thing because there could be new merch coming soon. So now
we might
time.
Send you these shirts plus the new shirts. The point is, if you really hate our podcast, if you want us to go out of business, buy it, subscribe to our Patreon. We'll send you a shirt and then unsubscribe. And then we'll lose all of our money very quickly. So either way, you win if you love us or you hate us. Patreon.com/Lost in America to do all that. For $5 a month, you get Kaplan and I doing our Live from the Bunker full throttle comedy podcast a few times a week. And for $20 a month, so $5 gets you the podcast, $10 gets you the shirt plus the podcast, $20 gets you your own advertisement once a month on this show. We will be reading one today from the great Dennis Owens at the 30-minute mark of this episode. So, and not only does he get the ad, he gets the shirt and he gets the show. It's
all. He gets it all.
Listen, the more you spend, the less we make. It's really good for you. So today, let's get today, Cap. We're talking about Armenia and their relationship with Russia. We came across an article that we said the only way we can really solve this is if we get Armenia's number one comedian, Narek Margaryan, on the show to set the record straight. But from what we read, Armenia is in a tight spot because historically Russia has supported them in the region and specifically against the alliance of Azerbaijan and Turkey. So Azerbaijan has been at war with Armenia multiple times. Their countries that border each other. They've gone to war over border disputes, over a number of things. And Turkey has always supported Azerbaijan. Therefore, Russia has supported Armenia. Now that Russia has gone to war with Ukraine, it's like, hey, what do we do? What side are we on?
Yeah, it's the enemy of the enemy is my friend kind of part of the world. And first off, I want to say I don't recognize Azerbaijan even exists as a country on this podcast.
Oh, good.
So let's get that out of the way. But yeah, so we wanted to know.
what a smooth way. What a smooth way of sort of making me forget what I wanted to start with.
So nice.
Hold on.
So nice. All right, come on in. Wait, let me give you a proper introduction.
$20 t-shirt with the correct map of Armenia. That is so great. Guess what t-shirt I am not wearing? The one you guys promised. Where is my t-shirt? Get lost in America?
It's lost, yes. We have supply chain issues.
Is that the name of your podcast? Is that why you named it like that? Because you promised people t-shirts and then do not deliver?
Here's
That's
the truth.
The first time Americans have ever made a promise.
Just hear me out. Here's the truth.
Yeah.
Is
me and the people of Afghanistan are waiting for America.
Evil losers.
To deliver their promises. I mean, you leave this guy with this basic shirt and then those people with the Taliban.
Yeah. Listen,
I'm seeing a pattern here.
We've been trying to send you this shirt for 20 years. It's not our fault you wouldn't accept it.
Yeah. We sent to collect. No.
Some people you just can't help, you know?
Let's set up a
deal. Women. We don't want women wearing the shirt. No.
The fourth time we're doing this podcast, either you're not wearing that shirt or somebody tattoos my address on his arm or something.
I want to explain what happened here. I want to explain. What happened is I put out the podcast. I do all the editing. I do all the audio. I do all the video. I do all the design. I do everything. And the one task I gave to Kaplan was send that shirt to Narek Margaryan. And he said, no problem. It'll be done. And then
Blame the Jews.
Blame the Jews. Exactly. He blames the Jew.
what a classic pattern you're in.
I have.
He doesn't even believe in God. What are we talking about? He's not a real Jew.
That's next week. You're going jumping in.
Oh yeah,
I have. It's on my list of things to do.
Now he went after your character. He now wants to destroy you at home in them.
The truth is, I don't know how to mail things internationally. You got to fill out like that form, customs form. I don't know how to do that.
In November, we'll be most likely doing stand-up tour in America. I will personally come and mail it to myself.
Will you be in New York? We'll just come up.
I'll be in LA. We're still discussing New York. So can you mail to
California? We can mail to LA, though. We can do that for sure.
Can two adult Americans mail to
You want two? Two adult American. We will get you exactly what you want. I promise you 100%. Yeah. Listen, I'm no longer trusting Cap.
Every month you don't send me a t-shirt, it goes up one t-shirt.
All right, so it's two shirts. It's two shirts.
Yeah, in September it'll be three.
Can you wear it on stage in LA to help
Of course I can.
Look at that. Wearing it in LA.
It's going to cost you extra, though.
Let's talk about that tour. Because you have an American audience listening to you right now. Where are you getting? What's the date for Los Angeles? Do you know yet?
It's the later part of November, but this tour is going to be in Armenian. The last time we were there, we did a full English thing. But if there's a crowd, we do have lots of English material and we'd be happy to do one in English. So, yeah, that's something we've been pondering upon. But before we get the proper visa, it's all just talk.
And we should say that, and I'll say this on record, the Kardashians will be there for everyone listening.
Of course, they're the second most famous Armenians in LA next to you.
I think if the Kardashians tweet about that, about another million of Americans will come to the show.
Yes.
And that will be, yes.
We can get the Kardashians t-shirts soon.
You can keep your t-shirts then. If a million people show up to our stand-up show.
I don't know if we'll get them a shirt. We can get them a mug. I think a mug.
Yes. A mug.
They're not shirt level.
We do give out mugs as well. Yeah, we started the Patreon thing here in Armenia as well, and it works pretty fine. Yeah, yeah.
Does yours say number one in the US? Do you have a mug that says that?
No. I can make one though.
Yeah, we want it to have part of Mexico in the or part of Canada in the tip now.
We're number one in Charentsavan. Have you heard of Charentsavan?
It's a province.
It's a city in Armenia, yeah.
There we go. All right, well, let's get to today's episode. First of all, also, for sure, do come to New York. I'll help you set it up if you need help with venues and stuff. Let me know. I'm in. So today, what's going on is, so from what we read, and we sent you the article, and I think I know where you're going, but from what we read, that Azerbaijan is in this tricky place. I mean, Armenia is in this tricky place. Azerbaijan doesn't exist. Armenia is in a tricky place.
Three shirts.
Three shirts. God damn it. Armenia is in a tricky place where they've been allies with Russia for a long time, but now Russia attacks Ukraine. From what I read, the Armenian people support Ukraine, but also it's strategic to stay aligned with Russia. Are we anywhere close on that?
I read the article that was in Foreign Policy, and this is the only comedy podcast discussing foreign policy magazine articles.
For so sure.
How about that?
This is a big thing. We're intellectuals.
Joe here. Rogan's yes. never
and
heard
I
of
it. I was so surprised to see that there were so many just factual inaccuracies in the article. Makes you sort of revisit
other articles.
The foreign policy was something I reviewed, and these guys can't go wrong. But like, there was basic stuff like they said Armenians are not allowed to go to Turkey and climb Mount Ararat. Well, people do that every week.
That struck out to me.
I'm planning to do it next year. It said that during the first war, Russia supported Armenia. Well, it's kind of a half truth, because in the very first stage of it, of course, it was supporting Azerbaijan because it was not Russia, but the Soviet Union. And they, to them, any such conflict within the Soviet Union would mean their authority is being doubted. That's why they tried very harshly to surpass it, and they were on Azerbaijan's side. They only turned to Armenia's side towards the very end when we were obviously winning. So that's a major inaccuracy. And
that's the war in 1992?
Yes. And then the guy who traveled here, obviously he only met representatives of the current government and nobody in opposition. So I'm not saying he was biased, but the information that was given to him is obviously from one side only. So that makes you question that as well. Right now, actually, Armenia is picking all sorts of benefits, let's say, from this conflict, because we had an influx of tourists, because everyone in Russia, like I went to a school in Moscow, and three of my classmates in the last few months have come to Armenia to set up bank accounts, because Russia is not allowed to use Visa and MasterCard anymore. So they open bank accounts here, they register companies. These are mostly IT companies. They're all forced to relocate either to here or to Georgia. And that actually boosts the economy in one way. In the other way, of course, prices for a bunch of things go up as a result. But it's been sort of Armenia so far is getting only the benefits and none of the sanctions. But that's also something that probably cannot last forever, which means the government has to navigate, maneuver, and be very careful about it. I think we're just so unimportant generally, so that nobody to this point thinks of imposing any sanctions because of our good relations with Russia. From the human side, of course, what's happening is devastating, because like to me, it's like you understand that the Ukrainians and Russians are very much the same people. It's not two different nations. Russia started from Kiev, and they were all one nation. So to me, it's like, you know, people of California going to war with people of, let's say, New Mexico. It's the same kind of war. It's like brotherly nations fighting against each other, and there's so much wrong with it. But I think you've had something similar during the Civil War. Anyway, I was like closely following what's going on for the first couple of weeks. And then there's been so much misinformation from both sides. It's impossible to understand what's going on. Either you have to dedicate 24 hours a day to reading both sides and then finding where that truth is in between, or just give up. And I'd be quite honest with you, I gave up. I don't follow it anymore because there's so much stressful things happening in Armenia. And I just don't have the spirit and the sort of emotional capacity to fathom what's going on in between Ukraine and Russia. So I won't be the best person to talk about it.
No, well, we want to talk about it from Armenia's perspective, so that you are the right person to talk about it. But first I want to ask, I didn't realize you went to college in Moscow. What did you study in Moscow?
It wasn't college, it was school. It was like high school, okay. Which was sort of English magnet kind of school. And we had, like, besides the normal subjects, we had about 6-7 subjects that were in English. So we studied the UK and the USA more sort of in depth. And in case you're wondering how this guy speaks English so damn well,
it's pretty good.
I just learned Russian.
Did your parents? Yeah,
and I avoided that Russian accent somehow.
Did your parents live there in Moscow at that time?
Yeah. My father used to work there for about 6 years, so we lived there. And then once I graduated, I moved back to Armenia.
What did your dad do in Moscow?
He ran a travel agency.
Wow. And was that seen as like a place to go for opportunity at that time? Or why would you go to Moscow?
Yeah, it did, because sort of Moscow in the 90s, it was the place where you can make it. And everyone who had the chance tried it at least. So, yeah, we tried. My family tried it too. So we didn't become oligarchs or super rich. But it was okay. I mean, during the times in Armenia were very tough. Like for years, you get cutouts in electricity, no hot water, no heating. So, and there it was all different.
And did you all learn Russian? Like, did your dad speak Russian? Your parents speak Russian?
No, he spoke Russian because in the Soviet Union, everyone spoke Russian. And my dad is a professor of history. So he did. And I knew it too. I mean, I was pretty fluent even before that. But like Russian is my third language that I speak and consume, like books and stuff in.
Yeah. It's so funny. We think of Armenia. I think in the United States, is it because of the Kardashians? I don't know. Or because of the population in Los Angeles? But we think of Armenia as this country that's very close to the United States. Am I off on that?
Yeah, it seems that way, right? Yeah. Because there's about a million Armenians in California.
Just LA, the LA area.
Yeah, just the LA area mostly. Yeah, and then Armenian, some in New York, some in Washington, lots of Armenians in Seattle. So we're all over the place, and there's even more Armenians in Russia. So, and Putin once made a joke. He said, someone said that there are almost as many Armenians in Russia as in Armenia. And he said, are you sure? Almost as many? Maybe
yeah, there's more. Yeah.
That was his joke.
And what
that
are these,
could be true. I mean,
the Russian immigrants, because I also read that there's been somewhere between 20,000 to 60,000. I don't know what the exact number was. That seems like pretty wild.
You know what we did? We did
coming to Armenia show during the war.
Yeah, we did a stand-up show in Russia with my colleague. Yeah. So sort of like a welcome to Armenia type of thing where we talked about, like when I was at that age, when we traveled to Russia, there would be some people that were kind of racist about us being sort of more looking Middle Eastern and darker skin tone. So for you to really get this, I was the black kid in our school.
Right. Yes.
And they would call you names. Yeah. Because those were kids, you know, I went to two schools. So one school, I only went for 1 year, and then the other 5 years, it was this English magnet school, when basically everyone was of different nationalities, lots of Jewish kids. So I wasn't standing out in any way, but the other school, that was like half criminal. It was a half criminal school. And why was it half criminal? Because only the half of the kids did drugs and sold drugs. The other half was drinking vodka when they were in sixth grade. It was like a terrible,
that's
terrible
the Russian dream. That's why you moved to Russia, right?
Yeah. and I was the black kid, although there was like another sort of, let's say, African Russian kids. But they didn't tone him that much because he was older. And I thought when they were toning me, he would be the one to sort of protect me and stand in for me. Because, you know, Black Lives Matter. but he didn't. But he didn't. Anyway, I have some fun memories of that school too. So now with everyone coming here, our stand-up show was, aha, no.
The tables are turned.
Chickens are coming on roost.
Yeah.
So they're escaping.
There's some funny thing happening. Like people would up the rents up to 3-4 times, obviously.
For the Russians?
For the Russians. And like the taxi driver from point A to point B would go like all the way around it.
Oh, the scenic route.
Classic, there's some classic people, scams.
Taking opportunities.
You think with GPS that wouldn't work anymore, but...
yeah.
Is it so these Russians that are coming in?
Wait a minute. He mentioned UPS for some unknown reason.
No, GPS.
GPS. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to remind you that you did not send me the T-shirt.
Oh, no. You're one track mind.
Yeah. Okay. Two T-shirts. I take one out.
So the Russians coming in, they're escaping Russia. Is that the word? Yeah. I guess. But they're also, like wealthier Russians? These aren't like poor immigrants at the border. These are
wealthier Russians. They are more in IT. They most certainly disagree with the policy of their state. So everyone I met here is very much pro-Ukrainian and very much anti-Putin. They're just
like when Misha left Belarus, it was the same thing. We, you know, IT people were leaving Belarus and leaving Russia, all these companies to, find other
lots work. Of companies. Yeah. I mean, people are building new techno centers just as we speak to feed all the IT companies that came from Russia.
So let me go through. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, let me go through some of the points, the specific points this article makes, and you can tell me one by one if this is true or not true. I think that might be a good way to do this. So the overriding idea was that Russia has protected Armenia or helped to protect Armenia against Turkey. Turkey sides with Azerbaijan, but Turkey is also part of NATO. So therefore, if NATO is on the side of Ukraine, Armenia cannot also be on the side of Ukraine because they're against Turkey and Turkey's in NATO. Does any of that add up?
That makes perfect sense. And I don't think neither Armenia should be on the side of Ukraine because, let's be honest, when we were at war with Azerbaijan, instead of taking a neutral stance, Ukraine was full-heartedly protecting Azerbaijan, praising the dictatorial regime of Ilham Aliyev, and sort of went out its ways to praise and support them for
Ukrainian government
for for them using banned munitions, for them decapitating people, for them burning houses, for them using phosphorus bombs. These are, I mean, there's warfare and there is this banned warfare. So they were obviously doing, they were using Middle Eastern mercenaries. And this is like something, I think the world pretty much agreed that it's not a good thing to use terrorists, whatever your cause is. And while you're supporting that kind of warfare, well, I just don't see why Armenia would. I mean, we emphasize, of course, we feel empathy for them. Obviously, we've seen what war is like. But to sort of be proactive and take a Ukrainian stance, that would be just stupid. And then, of course, you're right that Armenia's defense system is very much relying on Russia, especially now that we have this had this war just a couple of years ago. So obviously, our forces are not there, are not as Russia is the one protecting borders with Azerbaijan, and we're very much reliant on them.
So you cut out there for a second, but I understand you're talking about the war. When you're talking about Azerbaijan and the war, you're talking about the most recent one from 2 years ago, right? Or less.
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago? That makes sense that if Ukraine was not supporting you in a war 2 years, you're not talking about something 100 years ago. You're something that happened 2 years ago.
So
if Ukraine's supporting your enemy 2 years ago, it would be hard for you then to go support them. Was it Zelensky? Was he that president of Ukraine? Do you remember at that time?
He was the president at that time. And I think there was one case when their Minister of Foreign Affairs even tweeted something that was like so biased and so like cheering for death that we made a big deal out of it on Twitter. And then they said, okay, we delete this tweet and we reprimand. So they went. It was just, I mean, obviously their interests align with them rather than ours. I understand that, but going out of your way to support that, like there are many countries whose interests align with Turkey who didn't do that in such a manner. So that was something we should take into consideration. So basically there are two defense systems in the world. There is NATO and there is this Russian collective military thing that we're in.
Right.
So obviously us going I don't think there's going to be a war which is basically one country going against another anymore, because it's always these two defense systems fighting each other in one way or the other. So for us to go against, sort of, it's like cutting the branch you're sitting on. That's stupid. And then Turkey as well. Turkey, I mean, on a official level, they've accepted sending their special forces to Azerbaijan to support them during this war, which means a NATO member country send its soldiers to fight another country's war, which is outrageous.
Against but NATO you has, 2 years ago.
Against us, yes. This is like breaking so many international laws that you can't fathom. But NATO has been surprisingly calm and nonchalant about it, hasn't made any reprimands towards Turkey, accepted it as normal. And I don't see why Armenia should be sort of looking in any way at NATO as a possible ally, because all they've done is covered the bad guy here. It's sort of the severest form of violation of international law, sending a NATO member's army to fight some war with somebody. Imagine France sending French soldiers to fight, I don't know, India. And then NATO just being sort of stupid, being like, oh, I don't see that it happened, not even acknowledging it. While Aliyev and Erdogan, they've even given medals to these special ops soldiers. So nobody's even hiding this, concealing this. That's been accepted, and the world keeps shut about it. And basically also, like, for Armenia, this was eye-opening, because before the war, everyone was thinking, well, nothing too sort of doomsday-ish can happen, because there's international community, there's all of these institutions like the EU, UN, etc., etc. And then turns out all they do is tweet, and even when they tweet, they try to be so by what's the word? Both-sidist. So both-sidist about it. Azerbaijan says, okay, we started the war. We went for it. And Armenia says, yeah, they started the war. Nobody's denying who started, but they urge both sides to maintain peace and think, they are so afraid to make a mistake, to become a target of any criticism, that they just want to cover all bases, and that sort of immobilizes these institutions, and we must accept that they no longer work. And the Ukraine case is another basically proof of that, because the support that Ukraine has been getting was not from this organization. It's the countries themselves, right. The country's leadership, who decide that, okay, we're with the Ukraine, and we go and we support them. It's not the UN's and it's not the EU's. It's just individual countries, and even these countries now, well, you see that the winter is coming, and Europe knows of that, and they are going to need gas.
Russian gas.
The gas they are getting is Russian. It has quadrupled in price. But I think the only thing they can do is just they won't remove the sanction, but they would sort of buy it sort of behind the counter, under the counter, because there is no other way, simply. And that's the truth.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to. I've never thought about it, because you have Russia, Iran, and Turkey all have influence in the region.
Yeah.
And they're all terrible. They're all different levels of bad governments run by terrible people. But Turkey is a member of NATO. And so it gives them this like outside influence, as you said, and its effect. And obviously Armenia is a direct result of that. Because, I mean, Erdogan's pretty much as bad as Putin. I mean, it depends. It could be as bad as Putin. He's capable of it.
Of all these countries, Iran has been the smart, logical one. They've been standing their grounds, whatever they announced their goals are and their principles are. They haven't went against them. They have been one of the more reliable countries in the region, predictable. Right. Even for everyone, even for Azerbaijan. I mean, whatever they said to Azerbaijan, they hold to it. They do not change policies at whim.
They need the money, though, for the sanctions, I guess.
No, they're very adamant. Just recently, they said there will be no changes in the border with Armenia. This is, and they said it because Azerbaijan wants to get a corridor that goes through Armenia. And it was like a very like a nice way of them saying, we're not going to destabilize the region. They are the productive, let's say, the good force, actually, in this conflict. Yeah, and I understand that whatever's happening is terrible, and there are many ways Putin is wrong about this, but and it's popular to demonize him, but if you try to understand what's going on, imagine if Mexico suddenly started aligning missiles that reach up to Seattle. Do you think the United States would do nothing about it? I mean, we shouldn't even like speculate. You had the Cuban crisis. It's exactly what happened.
Right. But Mexico is not allied with, like, they're not. Wait, what? The Cuban crisis is different.
Let's say Mexico allies with Russia and is installing missiles, and Russia is arming Mexico as much as it can. How many years do you think America would go without invading Mexico?
Right. Well, in that
couple of years, 5 years, 8 years. It's not even a scenario. It happened during the 60s with Cuba. So
we didn't invade, though.
Where was Afghanistan? Where was Iran? Those were countries very, very far away. And Iran
there's a lot of real politics around.
And Iran having weapons of mass destruction is an issue now even the most adamant sort of Bush supporters don't really believe in, right? So, Iraq, I'm sorry, did I say Iran? But still,
Iran wants to get them, so that'll
yeah, but still, you guys went all that way and invaded. Now, imagine Mexico or Canada having that, accumulating that kind of missiles from your sort of rival defense system in this world. The United States would obviously do something about it. And it wouldn't be pretty, and we'd still be very unhappy about it, because any war with the technologies today, I mean, look, in the Ukraine, there are always these rumors that somebody will hit the nuclear plant, and it's going to be a universal catastrophe. It's not going to affect just Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine, it's going to affect us. In some minor way, it's going to affect you guys if another nuclear plant goes off. So this is we've gone to a level when we're just too fucking dangerous to make any mistakes.
That's
very true.
Very true.
We got to take a break on that note. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. We got to pay the bills here, Narek. Part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network, that is us, Lost in America. That is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. All of us are comedians, but also all of us are the world's biggest brains. You can go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com to get any of those shows. Subscribe to all of those shows. Leave comments, leave reviews on iTunes. That helps us all out. And now, Kaplan, we have an advertisement for one of our listeners, the great Dennis Owens. As we said, if you for $20, if you're a $20 a month subscriber, once a month, you get your own ad on this show. We will read whatever you write. I'm reading this now for the first time, so excuse any pauses or anything, but here we go. I'm just going to do a cold read because I'm a professional broadcaster. Are you ready, Cap?
You are. I'm ready.
When you've worked with, this is from Dennis Owens. When you've worked with the greats of American comedy, stand up with the Friars Club. Stand up with the Friars Club logo in the background. And is this he's giving me direction on what to do? Oh man, I should have read this.
You've done stand up directions.
Up with the Friars Club.
That's
in the background.
A rookie mistake.
Whatever he reads, you gotta read.
Stand up. Yeah, like I've done stand up comedy. Whenever you've worked with the greats of American comedy, like Turner, I guess, who's done stand up on the Friars Club stage, the logo of the Friars Club has been in the background. You've performed all over the world and established China's first comedy clubs. You end up with a network of the funniest and most insightful people in the world. They're going to help those of us that are lost in America. Wait, his ad is just an ad for us.
I love it.
This is great. Oh man, I love him. What a mensch, as you would say, Kevin.
What a mensch. He's one of the great mensches.
The great Dennis Owens spent his $20 a month to tell people who are already listening to our podcast to listen to our podcast. That's good. Narek,
have you ever gotten something that was like very inappropriate?
We've got a little bit of talk about Kansas City. What was that TV show we had to plug once?
Yeah, sometimes you have to plug like a local restaurant that somebody likes in their hometown.
Okay.
It's just not inappropriate.
What if someone writes something like very offensive? Would you read it?
Well,
of course we would. For $20 a month.
Short answer.
For $20 a month.
What if it was extremely inappropriate?
What, like that we side with Putin or something?
Something like that.
Like this analogy about the missiles.
Yeah, we'd read it. I think for $25, we'd definitely read it. If you want to throw us an extra.
For $20, I'd have to put up a barrier. $25, I'll read the Ayatollah's Death to Israel. Copyread.
Whatever you got. Yourself to Salman Rushdie had it coming Twitter.
For $30.
Salman Rushdie had it coming. And now, everybody, now a word from your local sponsors. All right, we're back.
Thank you, local sponsors.
Thank you very much. Keeping the lights on out there. It's ski season's coming up, Kaplan. I'm sure we're getting some Vermont snow ski advertisements. Okay, so let me keep going.
Would it be great if we got... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it'd be great if we took some of the local ads and then we just did ad reads for them.
Just like, plug a local ad?
Like, we're team players.
So what happens, they drop in ads for wherever you are in the world. You'll get an ad. So if you listen to this, you'll get somebody in Armenia being like, come on down to my restaurant.
Okay. Can I plug a local ad from Armenia?
You want to plug someone?
Yeah, plug something.
Go ahead.
I don't know what. Okay, well, Bona. Uncle Joras place, the GNG... The GNG Cafe on Therian Street is the most delicious place in Yerevan.
Delicious place.
Yes.
What kind of food?
G&G Cafe.
Armenian food?
J&J. Yes, Armenian. Homemade. As if your grandma just cooked it.
As if Kim Kardashian's mom. What's her name?
Is she known as a great cook?
Right?
No, not Caitlyn Jenner. That's not her mom.
Caitlyn Jenner.
The lady with the shorter hair. Yeah.
Yeah, the other Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
That's not Armenian.
As if Robert Kardashian's Armenian wife, whatever. He cooked it up himself. His own family recipe.
Something like that.
All right. J&J.
Go ahead.
We keep that mark of an intellectual podcast. So we cited foreign policy, and we sincerely don't know who Kim Kardashian's mom is. That's basically very high.
That's the
type
of brain I am. I'm autistic. Yeah. I don't know who
we're
Kim
up here.
High level Asperger's, not know who Kim Kardashian's mom is.
High level Asperger's. That's how unplugged we are from popular culture.
I do know what she looks like. I can picture what she looks like, but I'm forgetting her name. So anyway.
Every time I think of her name, I think of what the guy from the rock star's wife. What's Ozzy Osbourne's wife? Sharon.
Sharon Osbourne.
That's in my head the whole time. Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, brunette Sharon Osbourne.
So what? Here's another thing that this article says that I want you can pontificate on is so Russia has a military base in Armenia. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then also. Has supported the country through the Turkey, all that kind of stuff we've talked about. If sanctions, the US and the EU, the UK have heavy sanctions on Russia right now. If Russia somehow ends up losing this and gets weakened as a country, would that negatively affect Armenia?
Yeah, I think it will. What Russia is currently losing, it's things like, well, those are, no, I'm wrong saying this, but these are very visible things like Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, Starbucks.
And countries who lose that kind of thing, they tend to become more powerful militarily. Think North Korea. So maybe Russia becoming more powerful militarily is not the most terrible thing for us. But and there's many trade opportunities coming up, sort of like the stuff that Russia cannot import, we can import and then sell, I guess.
You can bring them Big Macs across the border.
Yeah, but once it becomes like sort of a trend, I think some sanctions are bound to come to Armenia, which is going to suck because we barely manage the economy as it is. And there is no alternative for Armenia, really. I mean, just plain geographically, and no one's offering us to join the EU, no one's suggesting us to join NATO, so there really isn't another offer on the table.
That's a good point. I didn't even thought of that. Is Belarus also? Belarus is getting sanctioned as well, I believe.
Yeah,
Belarus is the country sanctioned. That got sanctioned, but they don't. No, Armenia
but
is
Belarus. Yeah, but Belarus
is an active participant.
They gave room for the Russians to invade, and
they said they can use the border.
So I think that they're much more involved, and we really aren't, and we don't have.
Armenia's not involved
much
at all.
Of an opinion.
By the way,
we do get like protests supporting Ukraine. It's not a lot of people, maybe like 50 people, but these things happen in front of the Russian embassy. And it's just a part of, how things should be.
We should also say that as your son comes up. So
hello. Done, yeah. The headphones off of him.
We should also say that. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello from Cameo. America.
Okay, so that you know, the Spider-Man belongs to him.
Yeah, I thought the Spider-Man in your background for audio listeners was yours, but
so the first most famous New Yorker and the other two.
Yeah, there it is.
I like Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, very cool. Spider-Man's great. New movie coming out.
The guy directed.
I like Marvel. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. See, look at that. America's spreading its wings.
See, as pro-Russian as we may seem, we're very much under the
Hollywood.
Hollywood and American.
We have the hearts and minds of the young. That's what's important. What's that?
It's Huggy Wuggy. It's nice. A terrible, horrible thing. You should not buy your children.
It's his love. So kids learn English in Armenia, I guess, yeah?
We give him for special classes. He's only six, but he's picking it up pretty fast because he watches all those Marvel movies and cartoons in English. So he's picking it up.
And I have Pen Spider Marvel's Lego. Spider-Man.
Okay, Mark.
And you have Spider-Man Legos?
Hold on. My son was six, he spoke Russian. So,
wow, and you have Spider-Man Legos.
And he doesn't speak Russian. Yes.
Hey!
Take that, Putin.
Amazing. So let me see where I left off here. Ah, what about this concept? It also said that Russia is a... well, actually, let's go back historically a little bit. The prime minister, the current prime minister of Armenia, is not necessarily so friendly to Russia, right? That didn't he come up in a wave of protests that were kind of...
I would very much disagree. The previous governments, they sort of tried to balance things with the West and Russia. Yeah. So we were one of the only countries in the regions to both be part of this Russia's customs union and then sign the European Partnership Agreement, which that article mentions. So that was like good diplomacy, balancing this thing out. But the current prime minister, he's basically so weak that he does everything either side dictates him to. So it has never been easier for Russians to get like a political decision here in Armenia as it is now. And of course, like previously, his views would be sort of very much pro-Western. So he would present himself. But the day he got elected prime minister, he said, we will not change the course of our relationships with Russia. And while that sounded very reasonable at the time, it seems like whatever Russia wants to do, they don't even ask him anymore. And just having a weak president, the prime minister, despite of whose side he's on, is very bad for the country. And I think the same goes towards the Americans and the Europeans. It's just that they don't ask maybe for so many things, although the things he signed with Azerbaijan were very much negotiated by Europe and they are very much not in the interest of Armenia, but he went ahead and signed them. And now Europe is taking a more pro-Azerbaijani stance because winter is coming and Azerbaijan has gas. And just recently they did some article on this EU thing praising Azerbaijan, etc., etc. And again, this is a country that still has war prisoners from 30 to 200 people. We still don't know even the number, but
from 2 years ago,
30 something is something even they accept. So this is a country that is holding war prisoners and not even denying it. And there's the European community is okay with that. And that should not be okay. And regardless whose side I'm on, Armenia's, Azerbaijan's, Georgia's, doesn't matter. No European country should praise a country that is a dictatorial, that holds war prisoners and has done war crimes.
Yes. How is Armenia managed to stay relatively under the radar and I guess for all purposes neutral, because you're not really supporting anyone in this Ukraine war, in the war in Ukraine. How have you managed to do it? Why hasn't Putin sucked in Armenia the way he sucked in Belarus? I guess Belarus. Yeah.
I mean, what can we offer him? I don't think much. Our army is nowhere as it used to be. Our locations are not something strategically that they might need. And once again, we're just too small to matter. I think that's it. It's not the clever maneuvering of the government because the second either side asks for something for him to do, I think it'll be delivered and it will be devastating. So for us to keep this sort of neutrality, it's also like, it's not just reasonable. I think it's also it's also the only alternative because anything else would be like you shooting yourself in your foot and not thinking of tomorrow.
I mean, Armenia seems very good at sort of staying out of the crosshairs, because like with Iran, I was reading that because the issue of if sanctions to Russia affects Armenia in the future, but we've done business with Iran through all their sanctions for years, and it hasn't affected. Does Armenia buy oil from both countries, or what else?
We don't buy oil from Iran, and neither do we buy gas. So there's some trade, but basically just products of like daily use and things like the potential is there's so much more potential to trade with Iran than we currently use.
Interesting.
What's the update on post the war with Azerbaijan? I know there was another like
the ceasefire broke at some
a
point,
battle right? or something yeah. in the last year.
Mm. There was a battle just a couple of weeks ago. What happens is that sort of Russian peacekeepers are standing on both sides of the border because their mission is, however the war ended 2 years ago, they're supposed to be keeping those exact borders. But that hasn't been the case. Azerbaijan has been trespassing and getting newer and newer territories throughout these 2 years. And in some cases, Russia failed to stop them. And
because they're sending their best fighters
as
to
a partner. It's not probably even that, because the fighters they send obviously are not from this base, but they're very hesitant to sort of. This is another thing when I'm saying that turn the light on, turn it on. When I'm saying Russia basically gets whatever it wants from the current party, they can't even bring Russia to uphold the peace terms it composed. But Russia has written these terms of peace on who's doing what, the borders, et cetera, et cetera.
It's kind of amazing that Russia is...
Can I get a small break, guys? Just hold on. Just one.
No problem.
Got it. Yeah, the kid.
He's got it. Yeah, he's got to control the house a little bit. It's kind of you're muted, Narek. I don't know if that's on purpose or not. But
yeah, I'm good back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, cool. It's kind of amazing that Russia is paying attention at all right now with all they have. I mean, they pretty much have their hands.
Well, their influence. They want to maintain influence, right? So they need
of course,
to. If they brokered a peace, they have to try to.
What about comedy wise? To change the topic real quick, I guess you've been performing around Armenia since when post the coronavirus lockdown? So it's been a year or 2 years or
we've done some shows. We marked the 1000th episode of our TV show.
Nice.
And we did a big, like a stand-up thing about it. We did it live on stage. And then we've done this Russian show for Russians, which we plan to repeat again. One good thing also that came out of this is a bunch of comedians from Russia, stand-up comedians. Yep. Some of them Armenians. Actually, a lot of the comedians in Russia are Armenians. They came here and they opened the first comedy club. The real comedy club that works every day, has a new show every day. There have been attempts to do that, but now daily you can go and do your open mic, do your 5 minutes. So that's another good thing that came. And all the Russian comedians, they have no place to tour. Mm-hmm. So they go all around Russia. They come to Armenia. Some of the proceeds actually go to Ukraine from these shows. They go to Georgia, Turkey, wow. Sort of travel around the region and do shows, because for them to perform in Russia, it's not just unreasonably dangerous. Basically,
yeah. What's the name of the comedy?
Locked for Ari Stand Up. Ari means come. Come to stand up.
A-R-T-I?
Yeah. Sorry? A-R-I.
What?
A-R-I. A-R-I. Oh, Ari. And Ari. Yeah. So that's like one good thing that came out of this conflict.
So you have better IT guys and you have better comedians now. You got more influence.
I wouldn't say better IT guys.
More.
More.
There's Armenian youth is now getting used to pretty Russian girls walking around the street.
Oh, pretty Russian girls.
Yeah.
That, I would say that, better another, Armenian girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots, it's good. It'll lower the confidence of the Armenian girls a little bit. Which will make them
Armenian
more attainable.
Armenian girls are pretty surpassable in their own way, but then it's nice for guys, you know, to see others.
They all look like Kim Kardashian, right? That's how I picture
it. They look so much prettier than Kim Kardashian. Oh, come on.
Wow.
Kim Kardashian here would be like a six.
Then these Russian girls come over and they lose their confidence then. Either way, someone's losing their confidence. So
Kaplan's just trying to figure out who has low confidence.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Kaplan's just
single
figuring
man
out, should he come to Armenia or not? Maybe hand
deliver. Who needs a bachelor
t-shirt?
Party in Armenia?
An arm comedy is the name.
Let's add it to your Patreon thing. So like for $5, you get this. For $10, you get a T-shirt. For $5,000, you get a trip to Armenia, round trip. Drinks on me.
Done. Drinks on you.
And $5,000.
Armenian girls.
We'll take you to Armenia. You go with me and Kaplan and whoever puts up the $5,000.
Well, we're like rock stars there, right? Like we walk around, people are going to know us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for us to walk down the street.
Yeah.
We're the 30 people who are listening to podcasts in general will be just mad about
it. We're going to have to wear disguises.
And we're getting a Hard Rock Cafe opening in Yerevan.
Oh my gosh, things are looking up.
Well, that's another.
Should we do a live pod from the Hard Rock Cafe?
Western influence. you know, it was a funny thing that happened in Russia. Now, some guy bought out all the McDonald's locations, but they cannot call it McDonald's anymore. So they renamed it into something that's in a translation would be something like this: Tasty, and that's it. McDonald's is now called Tasty, and that's it.
What more do you need?
To the point. What do you need? Yeah,
I like to eat it.
And they basically have the same menu, but they cannot say like Big Mac anymore.
McDonald's,
or Chicken McNuggets. Yeah,
Whack Arnold's from Pacific.
Yeah. Starbucks became Super Coffee or Star.
Star Coffee. It's just called
Star Coffee, and the logo changes to this Russian thing with a star on it.
Oh, yeah,
and one famous Russian rapper has bought it.
And what about Little Caesars?
I don't know.
What is that now?
they haven't had it. But and another thing, like Coca-Cola, Arby's. I mean, you guys even don't go to Arby's. Why should the rest of the world?
I'm only
dissing at it because the Daily Show did.
I made the Jamocha shakes.
But Taco Bell was truly terrible. Oh. Taco Bell was the worst food I have ever tasted
in my entire
life.
Oh, yes. I love Taco Bell.
I've heard of it so much. I had such good expectations. And it sucked so bad.
It's really bad. Was that part of your America trip? Go to Taco Bell?
Yeah.
We'll take you for good Mexican food if you come to New York. So
there is no good Mexican food.
Every other Mexican food I've tried.
All right. We'll take the place to go in LA. Yeah.
Good. Los Angeles. That's it, everybody. That's the show. Narek Margarian, thanks for doing it. Arm Comedy is the name of your show. Everyone can check it out on YouTube. 1,000 episodes. Very cool. Kaplan, and we will see you in New York, possibly Los Angeles in November. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do? Besides sending off this T-shirt, what should we do?
And besides, you got to get your son to sleep. I think it's his bedtime in Armenia.
Yeah.
But on that note, we should get lost.
Get lost. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.